Hello, I'm Jason Ball, and this is Friends with Friends, the podcast about the TV show Friends, where we explore all 236 episodes. And I'm here again with my friends, Vanessa and Jackie.
Hi, I'm Jackie Rodriguez. I'm the biggest Friends fan. I love exploring, again, all these episodes in depth because it gives me a different perspective and hearing it from other perspectives like Vanessa.
Yes, I am the newbie here, Vanessa Martinez, and I really know nothing about Friends, so all these phrases that I see people talk about, like, oh, you're my lobster, like, I just found out about it now, so it's pretty exciting that I can now relate to it all.
You can hop on the train, and then...
Yes. And the train just keeps moving all the way to 236 episodes.
I know, but I feel like I've learned a lot, too, and it's great to hear your perspectives on the TV show, and as you know, we're watching it a little differently than you would watch it like regular, because it's we're looking at it with a critical eye, and we're looking at it with you know, how many times you take notes when you watch a TV show. So I think it's kind of fun to
I have like 2 pages of notes. One is my extended notes, which I take on my phone, and then one is for our scripts. So I literally have like 2 note things right here.
All right, well, we've learned how to do this. We're gonna get really good at it. So we're on up to episode, our 45th episode. This is season 2, episode 21. The One with the Bullies premiered on April 25th, 1996 to 24.7 million viewers. Jax, what happened?
So Phoebe decides she's going to try to meet her biological dad again, but then she meets her half-brother, Frank Jr., by accident because she ran over their dog. Monica invests in stocks and has to accept a new job that she doesn't want, and Ross and Chandler get bullied at Central Perk.
So, yeah, I think this is an interesting thing. The one question I do have, and there's a lot of, like, talk about this on, you know, fandom, is Giovanni Ribisi playing Frank Jr. When he made his first appearance a couple of episodes ago.
Uh-huh.
When he
put
a condom into Phoebe's. So what do you guys think? Do you think that is the character, or do you think they played this random character and they liked him, so they brought him back to be her brother?
Well, I think it's the randomness of the condom guy, and he's just the random condom guy, because Phoebe's brother and stepmom and, you know, dad, biological dad, live in somewhere else. They live in Long Island, don't they? Like, they don't live in the city. So why would he be in the city? Well, maybe he was hooking up with somebody because he has that kind of, like, yeah, they do go to the city. So I think it's the randomness of the condom guy.
Not the same character.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's not the same character.
What do you think, Vanessa?
I don't know. I think, yeah, not the same character. And I just think they liked him. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, come on back. We have another role we want you to play.
Yeah, we know that from the we know that from what the actual creators have said.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I don't think it's the same
but
person.
People, like, don't know that in, like, right away, so they have discussions, but I've seen it too in the fandom pages that it's like, oh, well, was he Frank Jr. coming, you know, and going, or no? Until you research,
I wonder if he's spoken out about it. I
like the idea that he is Frank Jr. in the first appearance, because I like that idea of the randomness of life, and that you could encounter people that, you know, you can encounter your half sibling and not even know it.
That's a deep thought. Yeah,
that is. That's like super deep thought. Like that could happen. In an alternate kind of universe.
And I like that it was in New York City too, because it's kind of, you know, they say, you know, like, not that it was a Times Square, but is the crossroads of the world. And I randomly have run into people in Times Square that I've known that don't even live. I didn't live in New York, and they didn't live in New York.
Yeah.
And I ran into this these 2 friends I had from Memphis when I was living here, and I'm like, this is just the craziest thing ever.
Yeah.
We actually ran into somebody I went to college with in New York, and he was at work, like, because he does, like, production stuff, and I saw him on the streets shooting. So I didn't talk to him, but I saw him, and I was like, hey, I remember him. We were in college together. And it's just so weird that it was a random street, almost by the Friends building. So I saw him there. Yeah.
See, it could happen.
Yeah.
New York City.
And I once ran into a friend in Mexico.
What?
In Cancun, right? Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
We ran into friends in Puerto Vallarta once.
Yeah, in Cancun. Yeah.
Strange. That's cool. So it could happen. It could have been. Could have not been. I think it's just everybody's kind of take on it.
I like it. I know it's one of those kind of silly romantic ideas, but I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah. But I just like the way that she's kind of forced to meet them, because once again, she goes out there, and the beginning of this episode, by the way, the way that she gets clues to go and meet them.
So funny. She's so strange. So it's her last name, and then she sees a rotisserie chicken and she chickened out.
Yeah. Oh, McDonald's.
Franks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, McDonald was a
friend. It shows how lonely Phoebe is for her family. And that part is really sad. And then, you know, her mother obviously is not around anymore. So she only has this image of what her father is. And she wants to meet him so badly, yet she doesn't want to ruin that image of what he's like, too. So it's just.
She wants it to be perfect.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. She goes through that again, and Rachel and Joey are there for her this time, you know, and it's sweet that, you know, everybody's so supportive. She's not doing it alone. You know, her friends, her family that she chose is going with her to meet her real family.
Yeah.
And the cab is hilarious that she's in her mother's cab again.
Again. It's going to be around for a while, guys. Get used to the cab.
What I love about the cab is it's so retro now, because there's, you know, all the cabs in New York are all Priuses now.
Yes. Right. And then she runs over the dog. I was like, oh my God.
That dog was hilarious.
How did he jump all the way from the ground to like the window, like peering into Joey's
dogs are great. Dogs are wild. My neighbor's dog, granted it's a way bigger dog, but we have a very high wall. Mm-hmm. And he jumps over the wall.
Oh my goodness.
And he just runs around. But she has to really jump. Wow. So dogs are talented.
I said, when they want something, they're going to make it happen.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, those little Jack Russells they do jump like that. At first I thought it was Eddie from Frasier, but it's not. It's a different Jack Russell.
The dog on Frasier. I know about that. Yeah. So I like that they, you know, Phoebe's very much an animal lover, obviously. You know, she doesn't like fur and all that stuff. So she has to take care of the dog. And so she pays for him for his vet visit, and then she's forced to go meet them because she has to return. You know, so it's forcing her to do it. And I like that they use that, because otherwise, are we going to wait for another time that she's going to chicken out? So she actually does it this time.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it was go ahead.
Oh, I've seen that house too. It's on the Warner Brothers lot in their little neighborhood. And they're like, oh, you know, there's Phoebe's dad's house, you know, the fake dad house and all that. And this is the neighborhood where they all meet. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was cool that, like, I can watch this and be like, I've been there.
And so can you when the Warner Brothers tours continue someday, right?
Yes. Yeah. We need to go.
That could be in our Friends with Friends on the road.
On the road.
I thought it was interesting. The actress who played Mrs. Buffet, I guess Phoebe's stepmom, was Lorraine Newman, who was a founding member of the Groundlings and an original cast member of Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
And she had just a small little role there.
Yeah. I didn't know. Well, Lisa Kudrow went to the Groundlings. Remember Hank Azaria's good friends with Lisa's brother,
uh-huh.
I think it is. And then encouraged her to go to comedy to the Groundlings. So maybe there's that connection there, bringing her on. I didn't know that.
I feel like there is, because there's so many connections to who is on the show or who they bring on the show.
And they bring their friends on too.
Yeah.
In Hollywood, you work with people you know you can trust and are going to show up on time and do the work. And
totally.
So she was a pretty big deal back in when that show started. Lorraine Newman.
Yeah, I didn't know at all. I didn't know who she was, and then I just liked that he's like, well, he went out for groceries 4 years ago, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's this guy who we don't like. We're getting little hints of him, but it's like he left them, and then he left this person. He left his current family, so it's just like,
yeah. Yeah, we're getting an interesting insight into Frank Sr. and that. You know, mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to this question either, if we ever meet him or not. So it'll be interesting to see, because now I think we all want to meet Phoebe's dad.
Yeah. Yeah, they're building it up to whether she does or not. I know, but obviously I'm not going to.
This is one thing I don't know and I don't want to know.
But I like how they're building it up, you know, building his character through without seeing him.
We didn't know that he liked stilts.
Yeah. I also like, though, how the first interaction that Phoebe has with her brother, the conversation is just so weird. Like, oh, do you want to see where he hit his head? Like, I mean, I'm sure, you know, if this is your dad, you would want to know anything about your dad. But it's just a funny conversation. Like, yeah. Oh, is this what you want to see versus, like, tell me about yourself kind of thing.
Yeah. But they do it so, like, cute. Like, I think they want to make them similar, you know, because Phoebe's like that. Yeah. So I think they want to make them similar. It's like Phoebe's kind of funny and strange, but, you know, adorably weird. And so is Frank Jr. So.
Yeah.
And I think they take the opportunity. I'm sure it's very, it would seem to me that it would be very odd to meet someone who, as an adult, meeting another adult who is your sibling and you didn't even know this person existed. So they kind of take that and make it make it even more bizarre almost to the absurd.
Yeah.
I still liked it.
I loved it. That's what's funny about it is that they took an awkward situation mm-hmm. and made it even more awkward because of the quirkiness of their personalities.
It's true. It's like, what would you say? So, what do you do?
Where do you even begin that conversation?
I don't know. But it starts something, and it starts a relationship, which blossoms throughout the series. So, it's awesome.
I mean, she didn't know, right? Phoebe didn't know.
No, she didn't know until he walked out. She
didn't know, yeah.
Yeah. So, it was cool. It's cool that the way they gave her a little something, you know, for him.
Yeah, they give her a little something. She didn't get to meet her father, but she did meet her brother.
So that's
interesting. All right, well, let's take a quick break. Lots more to discuss. Monica and her, you know, jobs and a stock trader. There's some interesting things to discuss there. And, of course, the big bullies. Bullies. We hate bullies. All right, we'll be back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, and we are back talking about the one with the bullies, and these two bullies are classic, you know, schoolyard bullies trying to bully Chandler and Ross. You guys ever have you been bullied like that?
No, I was always nice, and people were always nice to me. Thank God.
Not bullied like to that extent. I guess just people were mean to me for some odd reason or another. Even though I never did anything wrong.
Aww.
But, I mean, I survived. I'm here.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? Exactly. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, as Kelly Clarkson says.
But they are pretty funny, straightforward on bullies for no reason other than to just bully them.
Yeah.
It was really random, though, because like no reason at all. Like, at first I was like, wait, did I miss something? Like, what's happening? Why are they being bullied?
Yeah.
How did you decide to pick on them out of all the people?
Yes. Well, I think because they wanted to touch upon Ross and Chandler's, like, you know, own character, that they're not as machismo as, like, some, because they're a little more sensitive. Like, Joey's the machismo one out of the three of them. So it's touching upon that. But I thought the bullies were kind of like overkill on the machismo-ness. Like, it was just a little too much. Like, yeah. I'm like, all right, well.
They didn't have to bully that hard.
Exactly. They didn't have to flip the couch and say, you're never coming back, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. When I was watching the episode, I'm like, I don't, no, this isn't like my favorite, but then I do like it at the end. Mm-hmm. When they're gonna, when they're actually gonna have the fight in the street, and they're talking about like no faces, nothing below the belt, and then because even the bully goes, well, I do have to show that apartment tomorrow, so no faces is a good idea. So you gotta, we don't really ever understand why they're doing it, but we understood that they're not as tough guy as they let on.
Yeah,
and they had that fight with limitations.
And they had that conversation with Joey. It's like, all right, like when they got kicked out the first time, they went back and made the coffee or the frappuccino or whatever they're trying to make in the cup and stir it quickly. Joey's like, okay, I'll go down with you guys. And they're like, no, we can do it ourselves. Like they kind of like find the courage in themselves to kind of stand up to them. So I thought that was cute in that sense of the storyline. I didn't really get it, but at least they came out with
it. I mean, it could be just kind of that classic New Yorker kind of, you know, taken to the absurd too. Because New Yorkers were pretty tough and like, no, I'm sitting there, get out of my way. That sort of, you know, attitude, but it was definitely taken to the to a higher level. But then once you get to know people, then you kind of become friends and understand each other. So I think that maybe was kind of what they were going for in that New Yorker, because you know, you've met New Yorkers who are very tough and gruff until you get to know them, and then they're, you know, like regular guys. Like at the end where they, you know, have to chase after the guys who stole their watches. And Chandler trips.
Oh my gosh, he trips and he falls. But I've been to New York several times, and every time I go, they're always like, because I'm always like, hello, like to the bodega people, and like, oh, hello, smiling. Da, da, da. And then because I love talking to people, there's so many people there. And they're like, you are so nice. Are you from here? And I'm like, oh, I'm from California. They're okay.
Got it. Right.
They are very like straight on. And if you watch Real Housewives in New York City, they're very straight on. Like, and then they're like fighting one minute and then happy and like friends the next minute. So I see the New Yorkerness in these bullies.
Yeah. I think that's just what it is. They're just being, you got to, I guess in a city that's so crowded, you got to carve out your turf.
In your regular coffee spots, you know?
Yes, and save your seat.
Which is funny because throughout the series, you see the little reserve sign on the coffee table. That's why they're always sitting there. And I guess, and that reserve sign wasn't there. And, or maybe these bullies just don't care. So
I do like the way they enlisted Gunther to handle the bullies the first time, even though it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Hold on, guys. It's classic schoolyard bullying. Like I told the teacher. And
every time I hear Gunther talk, I always get excited. Only because he's always there, but we hardly hear from him. It's like that shy person in the classroom that doesn't say anything, and all of a sudden they talk, and you have to like, do a double take. you cheer on for them.
That's very true. I think that's exactly what they decided. They decided to do that with him. Mm-hmm. He's that kind of character that's always there, and they all know, but you know they don't really interact with that often.
Yeah, and then. What do you guys think about Monica and her stock endeavors?
I don't understand stocks, so I had no like connection to this.
My senior year of high school, we had to take one semester with stock or like stock market kind of stuff, and then economics, and then another one was. I even forgot what it was. Obviously, wasn't that interested. So, anyways, Same. I didn't understand it. We had to watch the stock market for 1 month. We had to pick like 4-5 stock markets to watch or different companies to watch. And we had to like report on them. And I wasn't a fan of it.
Would you choose, what's your initials, V? What's your initials, V? What's your middle name?
VCM.
Oh, would you buy VCF if there were a stock symbol?
Would I buy them?
Uh-huh.
It depends what company they were. You gotta be smart about it.
I don't have a middle name, so I'm just JR. So
you don't have a middle name?
No, I don't have a middle name. It's like, because in Mexican culture, like women don't sometimes don't get a middle name. Sometimes they do, like Vanessa, sometimes they don't.
Like, I feel like a lot of them do.
My didn't have one. My mom's name is Rosa Armida Rodriguez Rios. And so it's like she has so many names. Oh, Paula Rosa. Armida Rodriguez.
And they use like the middle name for the first name.
Yes.
They don't use like their first name.
Yeah. So like, I think because my mom had so many names, like she has three names before she gets to like her married name and then the single name or name before. And so I think she just didn't give us all names and middle names. But so yeah, my stops would just be JR, which would be easy because that's junior. So I don't know if there's any.
Well, I looked up Monica gets into it because she sees a stock that has her initials MEG, and there's a company actually, and the company that has that symbol now is an Irvine, California company, Montrose Environmental Group, and it just IPO'd in July, which is random. Apparently it's been inactive, or it wasn't even a stock back then
in the 90s. Yeah.
Oh. And then CHP, I love that she picked that because she liked Eric Estrada from Chip because of the California Highway Patrol.
Actually, there is a company with a stock market name of VCM. It's called Vecima Networks Incorporated in Canada, and they develop hardware and software for broadband access. So, I mean, their stock is looking good today, up 11 points. Maybe I'll call them.
Maybe you can put your $127 from the bank into, like Monica did.
Yeah.
Poor Monica. Well,
there's no JR, or my initials are JRB, Jackie. So there's JR or JRB. So.
So we won't have to invest.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting into Monica because, I mean, she at this point, she's kind of desperate for someone who needs that organization and everything. She has no job and she's desperate to figure out a way to make money. And she kind of becomes it's like a gambling addict, but she needs her fix at the end. She's even trying to borrow money from Rachel. It's very funny. Interesting side of Monica.
Yeah.
So poor Monica, I don't know why she's having such a hard time getting a job.
Do you think maybe she's really picky?
Yeah, I think so. I think she has standards that she lives up to, which is fine. You know, she really wants something. But when you're stuck and you have only $127 left, like you have to do something, you know, like, like I know I would go work in a coffee shop if I couldn't get a job, you know, in broadcast if something happened, you know, so I would go work at like a mom and pop coffee shop because I love coffee so much and I would love to learn how to like do it professionally.
I don't think I could do it. I don't know. I don't think I can make coffee.
I mean, I am of the mindset that if, you know, I have to be doing something, I can't just sit and wait for the next thing to come along. I have to do whatever it is. You got to do
exactly.
That's true.
Whatever you have to do.
And that's what Rachel told her to get the job. You know, take that waitress job, even though she doesn't like it.
Until so there, better,
Monica goes to a diner to work unhappily wearing a wig and fake boobs. And she does it.
That's a total like New York tourist trap.
Diner, right?
Yeah. There's actually a place like that here in California. It's called Frisco's. They're in City of Industry, I think, in Long Beach. And I used to go there all the time as a kid. And you walk in and it was – the seats are modeled as like 50s cars. And they have paintings everywhere. And then they come and serve you in roller skates. Everybody has to roller skate. Unless you're pregnant, then you don't roller skate. And then every like so often they would do a show. They would do like a quick little dance to a 50s song and stuff like that. And we would go every single Sunday and I would always get the French toast. With a strawberry milkshake.
Is that the restaurant in Pulp Fiction?
It's a little more 50s diner-esque. Like they have the little mini skirts with the ruffles at the bottom and they have more like glittery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just have to check it out.
Yeah. It's a nice memory.
So I guess I'm proud of Monica for, you know,
doing what she has to do.
Doing what she has to do, even though it wasn't what she wanted to do, but she has to do it to get by.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any weird jobs like that? Not that it's a weird job, but you know.
I worked in retail my whole life until I got into broadcast. And so it wasn't really weird. I stuck to retail and very much like do what you know and what you're skilled at. So when I started retail from, you know, 16 to 24 when I started, you know, here. So
you seem like a Hollister kind of.
Yeah, no, I did Forever 21. I did and Banana Republic.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, no, I've been pretty blessed. I've been pretty lucky. So, mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
Oh, Disneyland, didn't you?
Disneyland? No, I didn't do Disneyland.
That's Bobby.
Oh, yeah, I know it's Bobby. But where did you meet Caesar?
Oh, City of Diamond Bar. We worked at a city job. And, well, the thing with Disneyland is part of my job was taking kids to Disneyland. So that was fun. When we worked at summer day camp. So that was the best time to work in the summer. Because, granted, you had to watch 100 kids ages 6 to 12. And you would have to go on different trips weekly. So, like, Monday was, like, craft day. Tuesday was – I forget what it was. Tuesday was, like, a big trip. So, like, Disneyland. And then Wednesday was a smaller trip. Thursday was pool day. And Friday was craft day. So there was always something fun to do.
That seems much better than dancing to the village people on the diner counter.
Oh, yeah. Getting paid to watch kids. I mean, granted, you know, you would have kids that wouldn't behave, or you'd have to make sure you wouldn't lose kids, especially at a water park. Those are the worst, especially when you had to watch 10-year-olds and 6-year-olds at a water park. 6-year-olds at a water park.
That sounds
the worst age group.
Yeah. Sounds very stressful.
Luckily, yeah. I never lost a kid or never had to use an EpiPen, so it was all good.
Yeah.
I did have to teach kids about his finances when we were at Disneyland. So,
oh my
gosh.
I did daycare in my hometown for a little bit too before I moved to Southern California, but it's fun. I love kids. So I always said, you know, if broadcast doesn't work out, I'd become a teacher. So.
Ooh,
you're so good. You're doing okay.
Yeah.
You're doing okay.
Well, I coach on the side, so I kind of get in a little bit of both. So I coach volleyball. So it's nice. Thanks guys.
We haven't gotten to favorite lines.
Oh, favorite lines?
Yeah. Because I have one.
Okay.
I think my favorite line, well, I know my favorite line is from Phoebe because it relates to a dog. It's when Phoebe returns a dog to Mrs. Buffet and Mrs. Buffet asks her, she's like, wait, are these stitches? And Phoebe says, eight stitches. That's 56 to him. 8 times 7 dog years is 56.
Yeah, that's very cute.
I agreed with you on there's another one when Joey calls Phoebe's family and acts like he wanted a ransom. The voice that Joey does, I thought that was cute. So that's my favorite part because that had me laughing out loud where he was like, I have your dog.
Oh, yes. That one. I love that part too. It was so random.
I actually like the part where Monica's trying to get money from Rachel. Monica's trying to borrow money from Rachel so she can buy the stocks. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It seems like something Rachel would do.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the nice things about doing a podcast is we get viewer feedback, too.
You
got some fan mail. Why don't you guys read some of our fan mail?
Yeah, it's very exciting. I think when I opened up the fan letter I saw, I got really excited because it makes me feel like, oh, you know, it's not my mom. It's not my dad. It's somebody.
Is that your sibling or something?
Yeah, this is exciting. So, our first comment or our first fan mail, I guess I should say, comes from Ashley McDougal. She says, hi guys, I love listening to your podcast when I'm driving and out walking the dog. It's so nice to realize it's not just me who's so picky on the details. I would love if you could do a podcast on the episode from season 3. It's episode 9, the one with the football. I love it so much because even though there are separate stories like the Dutch Girl and the Geller Cup, they are all together as a 6 for the majority of the episode. I would love to hear what you guys think of it. Well, actually, it's coming your way. Stay tuned.
Coming your way.
Thank you, Ashley. Yes, we will get there.
We love that she loves the details too, as we do, because it's like there's, if you're fan of the show, that's what you look for. So that's awesome. Yes. So Kelly Gaudion on Instagram reached out to us. She says, hey guys, just started listening to your podcast. FYI, the duck and the chick, something that she says about them. They did actually go live on a farm in upstate New York. So That's something that the duck and the chick haven't been introduced yet, but we'll get to that. So thank you, Ashley. And then one that we've already discussed is the prom episode. So this is what Kelly says. They don't say Mr. Cartel about teenage Ross with the mustache. Remember that?
Mr. Carter.
Yes. So Jason, you brought that up. She says they say Mr. Carter with a different inflection. It is from the TV series Welcome Back, Carter, from the 70s. So she noticed that too, and she knew that too from what we discussed on our episode. So
yeah, it's actually, it's Cotter, K-O-T-T-E-R, not Carter.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. There you go, Kelly. Cotter. Yeah. So, so she reached out to us. She says she loves listening. So thanks for listening, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelly.
Yay. Oh, and then we have an email as well from a Josh Kaplan. He says, "Hi, Vanessa, Jackie, and Jason. I love your podcast. It reminds me of life when things didn't suck all the time." Well, we're glad you love it.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't forget to rate it 5 stars and leave nice comments.
I love Josh's comment too, because people are looking for things that aren't, you know, it's been a tough year. 2020 has been a tough year. So it's, you know, it's nice to have things that are not pandemic related, and, you know, nice to have this little escapism. And I think that's what's fun about the show. They do really, you know, address real issues, but in a fun way. And it is a nice escape. And literally every week when I'm preparing for this, I laugh out loud. It's one of my favorite moments of the week when I'm rewatching the episode. So stick with this one, friends with friends, folks.
Yeah. And then there's one more on, I just looked on our actual Apple page on our Apple. She says there's somebody with the name DL0817 on July 23rd. They said, my new friends, I live reminiscing with you. I think they meant, I love reminiscing with you. All the backseat stuff, hoping to get more interviews with the cast.
And the good thing is we don't know any of these people.
More than our family members listening.
Right? Exciting times.
All right, fun discussion. Please keep the fan mail coming. We love it. Both our egos. All right, in the next episode, it's Rachel's birthday. More family drama. Lots to talk about there. Our parents, we see your mom again, and meet her dad for the first time. So we meet Dr. Green for the first time. Lots to talk about.
Yes, and yes, keep the viewer comments coming. Send us DMs. Send us emails. Keep them coming. And on DMs, on Instagram, it's Friends with Friends Podcast.
And if you like us, give us 5-star ratings and leave nice comments wherever you get your podcast. Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.